All right, so if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me now to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. So we're returning this morning to our study of Luke's Gospel, and are together in the 17th chapter today. And here we are returning to life on the road of faith with Jesus Christ and his disciples. And you'll remember that the last time that we were here, a couple of weeks ago, the disciples, for some reason or another, had felt that there was something that they needed that they didn't have. Or more accurately, something that they did have but needed a good deal more of. And what was that? Well, it was faith, you remember. Somewhere on the road of faith, the disciples felt that they needed more faith in Jesus than they already had. And so they came to him and they asked him for this. The disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." And as we prepare now to hear the Lord's answer to this request, let's take a moment to remember who he is. Jesus Christ is our God, Christians. The very one that we have been worshiping today. He is an infinite, an eternal spirit, the glorious creator of heaven and earth, in whose image we as human beings are made. And it's to him that all the glory of our lives and our world belongs. That's who Jesus Christ is. And here he is, this God of ours, in the first century, in most humble attire, having clothed himself in our humanity as Jesus of Nazareth, walking with his disciples on the road of faith. And we know that he is on his way to the cross, where he will die for these men's sins and for ours too. The Lord's pockets are empty here. His true friends are few. And his death is approaching swiftly. And when it comes, it will be an unusually cruel and painful one. And yet, in him, in this extraordinary man who is our God, in him are hidden, the Bible tells us, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ Jesus. All right, so now we remember who he is. So let's give him our attention, shall we? What shall the Lord answer his disciples here? They've asked him to increase their faith. Will he say, "Yes, of course, I'm so glad you asked. Here on the road of faith is the thing that you have requested. More faith in me, gladly, freely I give it to you, and I give it to you now." Will Jesus answer like that, I wonder, with a resounding yes? Or will Jesus say, "No, certainly not. I'll not increase your faith. Don't ask me for that. Ask me for other things, but not for that." Or don't ask me for that. If you want more faith, increase it yourselves, you lazy disciples. Might Jesus answer like that with an emphatic no? What will he say to his disciples? Yes or no? Well, let's find out as we stand together now for the reading of God's word. The sermon text is Luke chapter 17. I'll be reading verses 5 and 6. Hear now the word of God. And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Shall we pray? Well, Lord, we pause now to ask for the illuminating grace of your Holy Spirit, that our understanding of these things, the disciples of Jesus Christ, would be an enlightened and spiritual understanding of these things. And we pray, Lord God, such wisdom as is here for us, that you would impart that wisdom to our hearts, that we might walk in it, and so be more faithful followers of Jesus in our days. All this we pray in the name of him as our God and Savior. Amen. Please be seated. All right, so you heard it. What was Jesus' answer when his disciples came with this request, increase our faith? Did he say yes? Or did he say no? Well, he didn't say either, really, did he? As we considered the disciples' request in the previous sermon, we found that it was a proper request, you remember. According to the Bible, the faith of Christians can increase and needs to increase. And it seems right then for us to seek this spiritual gift from Christ himself, as the disciples did here. And should the Lord grant our request, we thought of three ways in which Christian faith might increase. We could believe more of the Bible than we do right now. That's one way. And what we do believe, we could believe more strongly or more passionately. That's another way. And also, we could believe what we believe under more trying conditions. That's a third way. And there are perhaps other ways that our faith could increase that I didn't mention or think of. But as for the request itself, again, I just stress, it does seem proper for us on the road of faith to ask of the Lord, as his disciples did here, to increase our faith in him. So when these men asked this of Jesus, what did he give them? What did he give his disciples? What did he place in their hands? What did he put in their minds? Well, as you observe in verse 6, Jesus, in answer, invoked the idea of a mustard seed. Not a yes, not a no, but a mustard seed. How like him? And what is the significance of that mustard seed? Well, you remember that Jesus once told a parable about a mustard seed. And in that parable, in Matthew 13:32, Jesus said that a mustard seed is the least of all seeds. So of all the seeds, the smallest seed of all is the mustard seed. Right, so picture it in your minds then. See it in the palm of your hand. Though you may have to really strain your eye to see it because it's so small. It's almost nothing, really. Now, you'd be forgiven for missing it altogether or mistaking it for a mere speck of dirt. But it is a seed, this mustard seed, though it is the least of them all. And of it, Jesus says in verse 6, if you have faith as a mustard seed. So you see where he's going with this. You ask for more faith. You want me to increase the faith that you have, Jesus is saying. And I can increase that faith, and I will increase it. Because it needs to increase. You need great faith as you follow me on the road of faith. But even so, remember that even if the faith that you have in me, my disciples, is so small that it's like a mustard seed, the least of all seeds, still, that faith is What? Still it's what? What does he say? Even so, though it is but the faith of a mustard seed, still it is a powerful thing. So do not despise the gift of faith that you have, Christian, even when it is small. For even a little bit of faith in Jesus Christ is capable of great things. Christ's words are these: if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, so picture a mulberry tree now, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now that's a powerful mustard seed, isn't it? By the way, what is power? Power is the ability to do things. And the greater the thing done, the greater the power required to do it. And there are different kinds of powers that we know of, capable of doing different kinds of things. So there are the powers of nature, for instance, like earthquakes and hurricanes and the raging wildfires that are sweeping across the West and consuming everything in their path. Those are nature's powers. We call them the forces of nature. But there are also other kinds of powerfuls. Powerful in their own way, like the power of knowledge. Think about a computer hacker who can bring a corporation or even a government to its knees through his knowledge of their security code. As Francis Bacon once said, knowledge is power, and that is true. And then there's also what we might call, just as another example, for lack of a better term, the power of drama, such as the truly awesome power of a two-year-old throwing a great fit on the middle of the kitchen floor, and by means of that dramatic fit, bringing all the activity in the house to a halt and bending all the attention of all the other members of the family to his will to find out what he, the two-year-old, wants. That's power. So these are all different kinds of powers. And there's others that I could mention, capable of doing different kinds of things. And the mustard seed of faith in the hand of Christ's disciples is, he's saying, also capable of doing powerful things. So what kind of things do you think that a Christian's faith can do? In that mustard seed of faith, Jesus says to his disciples, is the power to move trees. To move trees. First, to uproot them. To rip them up out of the ground by their roots. And then secondly, to move them to some other place, such as the sea, and plant them there instead. You perhaps struggled to pull up a little weed in your yard by its roots with the mere strength of your hands. But with a little faith in me, says the Lord, you can easily uproot and move trees. And not only trees. Christian, your faith, though the least of all faiths, can move mountains too. In an obviously similar passage, Matthew 17:20, Jesus says this to his disciples: assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So do you want more faith? Good. You should want more faith, greater faith. You should want to believe more of the Bible and believe it more passionately and be able to believe it under even the most trying of conditions. But ask yourself first, am I really getting out of the faith that I have what is there to be had? Apparently not. Don't despise what you have now, what you have been given. Though it is small like a mustard seed, don't underestimate your faith in Jesus Christ, if you have any at all, and what it can do. For that mustard seed is powerful. It can move mulberry trees. It can move mountains. When the disciples came to Jesus and asked him to increase their faith, that is what he said. Now, I like that answer a lot. And it comes from the one, again, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. His answer is not yes, but neither is it no. His answer is, even a little Christian faith is capable of great deeds. Mind-blowing deeds, really. And so Christ's answer is a mind-blowing answer. And I want to know more about this. If it is, as it seems to me, a treasure of wisdom and knowledge. I don't want to misunderstand the Lord here. I want to understand him. And I want to go with him as far as he will take me here, in the direction where he is leading, but no further. And I don't want to go astray. So I have some questions about this mustard seed of faith that he has placed in my hand and now in my head. And I want you to think about these questions with me too. First question. Is Christian faith a power in itself? Is that what I'm supposed to understand? 2 million tons of dynamite packed into the tiny space of a mustard seed. The answer is not exactly. Faith is not a power in itself. Christian faith is a humble thing, signifying helplessness and total dependence on another. So faith is not like the power company that lights up the city of Atlanta, but it's more like a copper wire. That is, faith itself is not itself powerful, yet a great power flows through it, even the power of God. And this is why in the Bible we see the power of God flowing in and through the lives of believers in a way in which that power does not and maybe cannot flow where people do not and will not believe in Jesus Christ. So let me mention a few examples to demonstrate this point. Do you remember when Jesus returned to his hometown of Nazareth? Now, it says that he did not do many miracles there because the people did not believe him. So the power to heal was certainly present in Nazareth, in Jesus, its native son. But that power had nowhere to go in Nazareth, there being no faith among the people through which it might flow. And you remember the woman with the issue of blood who reached her little hand through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' robe, believing that he could heal her. And she was miraculously healed in that moment. And you remember what Jesus said? He said, "Someone touched me, for I perceived power going out of me." So like a copper wire, it seems, that little hand of faith, all it had to do was just touch the world's almighty Savior, and the healing power of God that was there just flowed into the woman's body and into her life. And you remember Peter walking on the water like a brilliant light bulb on the dark sea until Christ's disciple began to doubt his Lord. And then the light flickered and faded, and poor Peter began to sink. Was Jesus not as powerful then? Of course, he was as powerful as ever. But where there was no faith in Peter, the Master's power has nothing through which to flow. So faith, you see, is not a power in itself, but a great power flows through it. And it's in that sense, then, that even a mustard seed of faith, even a thin copper wire, can be such a powerful thing. Second question. Can this power of faith do anything? And the answer seems to be yes. We heard Jesus say it once, nothing will be impossible for you. Because God is omnipotent and the power of faith is the power of God flowing through faith. So potentially the power of Christian faith can do anything. Absolutely anything. And so literally, a little Christian faith as the conductor of divine omnipotence could uproot mulberry trees and plant them in the sea and move mountains in this world from one place to another. The power of God is a power over and a power in this world, a power over nature that stills storms and changes water to wine. And so it can do literally anything that God wants it to do here, which is anything at all. So it's mind-blowing. And I think in thinking about Jesus' words here, our minds should be blown as we look at the little mustard seed of faith in the palm of our hands. There is potentially divine omnipotence in and through that little seed. That's what Jesus is saying. However, two qualifications need to be made here, unless we fall off the name it and claim it error of the televangelists. So first qualification, divine omnipotence will do only what God wants done, even when it flows through our faith. So we'll move mulberry trees, perhaps, but only if God wills. If God doesn't will, then we won't. And this makes sense if you think about it. What is Christian faith? What is it? Is it merely believing that God exists and that God is powerful and can do things? No, even the devil believes that, doesn't he? So what does the mustard seed of Christian faith believe unto salvation? Well, Christian faith believes what God has said, and especially what God has promised us as his people. All the gospel promises of God will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's what we believe. And out of that faith arises our Christian hope, such as the devil does not have. So what if I, as a Christian, believe that God will do something in my life that God never promised to do? Like make me a millionaire. Well, that's not faith, is it? By definition, that's not faith. What is it then? Well, it's presumption. And power doesn't flow through presumption. Power flows through faith. So it's when we believe God's promises to us in Jesus Christ, the promises of salvation in the Bible, it's then that mustard seeds move mulberry trees and mountains. And this first qualification is precisely what we hear in 1 John 5:14, where the Apostle John says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So you got that. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, how do we know what God wills? Well, we cannot know unless he tells us what he wills. And what he has told us, he's told us where? In the Bible, as his word. So the mustard seed of faith can do literally anything if what is believed by the Christian is according to God's revealed will in Holy Scripture. So that's the first qualification. And the second qualification is this, that ordinarily the power of Christian faith is a power that will be felt in the spiritual realm. Ordinarily, Christian faith is a power that will be felt in the spiritual realm. So the mulberry tree and the mountain in Christ's lessons are best understood metaphorically. There are things like trees, like deeply rooted trees in the spiritual realm, and like mountains, like massive mountains in the spiritual realm. And the power of God working through even a mustard seed of Christian faith can uproot those trees and move those mountains. So please don't be disappointed in that interpretation. I know it would be something, wouldn't it, to go outside as a believer and move these oak trees outside of the church here. I mean, you'd be quite a wizard, wouldn't you? And people would be pretty amazed. But that is not, it seems, primarily where the power of God works and will be working in this world through our faith in Christ Jesus. As the Apostle Paul once said, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." You hear the metaphorical element there. So what we're saying is that there are prejudices against the gospel that are deeply rooted in people's hearts like great trees. And there's a spiritual opposition to the glory of God in Jesus Christ in this world that is massive, like a mountain range. And yet potentially, if it is God's will, and we can see that in Scripture, and we have but a mustard seed of faith in Jesus Christ, we as believers will uproot those great trees and move those mountains, and nothing will be impossible to us. So again, don't be disappointed if we put a spiritual interpretation on the Lord's words here. Spiritual trees and spiritual mountains are as real as the physical ones. And when the power of God flows through our faith, though it is but a little faith, things really do move. And that's mind-blowing. And so the third and final question is this. And how is this power of faith released? How is it called upon and sent forth by believers as they believe to do mind-blowing things in this world? And the answer is by speech. If you have faith as a mustard seed, Jesus says to his disciples, you can say, as a believer, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Speech. So this is like God, isn't it? How does God create the world? How did he bring forth light out of darkness? He said, let there be light, and there was light. The power of God in and over this world is the power of his speech. And that omnipotent power is released in and through the lives of Christians when believing in their God, they speak too. And that is true, apparently, even if they have but a mustard seed of faith. More faith is better, but even a little faith will do. And what sort of speech are we talking about here? Well, principally, we're talking about the speech of prayer. Starting at Luke 17:6, if you work your way through the other passages in the Bible that address this same issue, the answer is always the same. God works mightily through the prayers of his people when the prayers of his people are prayers of faith. I'll show you what I mean. First, in Matthew 22, 21 through 22, we hear the Lord teach this. Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Then again in John 14, 12 through 14, before leaving this world, the Lord reminds his disciples of this again, saying, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Again, there's 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. Here the Lord's apostle teaches the same thing, saying, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." And then once more in James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, the brother of Jesus Christ writes this. He says, "Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." So you see, what sounds like an authoritative command in Luke 17:6, you can say to this mulberry tree, "Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you," is depicted as humble prayer pretty much everywhere else. "God, please uproot this tree. God, please move this mountain. Touch the hem of Jesus' robe in that way, and the power flows, and things move, and potentially nothing is impossible to you, even if all the faith that you have, Christian, is the faith of a mustard seed." But along with the speech of prayer, I have to also add here the speech of preaching as another sort of Christian speech by which the power of faith is released and felt in our world. And I mention this because this idea of uprooting and planting trees is also found in God's charge to the prophet Jeremiah, when the Lord commissioned Jeremiah to preach his word to his people. So in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and pull down, to destroy and throw down, to build and plant." So Jeremiah was a powerful fellow in his day, wasn't he? And how would Jeremiah do all of these things, uprooting and pulling down kingdoms and destroying fortresses and throwing them down, and in their place building new cities and planting trees? By what power would Jeremiah do this? By hearing what God told him, believing what God told him, and as a believer, preaching what God told him to others. And that's what Jeremiah did in his ministry as a prophet, and it's all that he did. And the effect was positively cataclysmic. Everything that the prophet said would come to pass did in its time. And his word was more than a witness, you see. It was a weapon of invincible power, mighty in God for pulling down spiritual strongholds, moving spiritual mountains, and uprooting and moving spiritual trees. Christian, do you know what you have? Do you even know what you have? You have a vote. That's right, you have a vote in the upcoming election. And isn't that vote a great thing? Isn't that a mighty political power that you personally wield when you go into the voting booth on November the 3rd and cast your vote as an American citizen? You would think it was a great power, the way people talk about that vote and fret over that vote and invest so much hope, like the hope of salvation almost, in that vote. And yet, let's be honest, shall we? Just brutally honest. I'm not talking about the collective votes. I'm just talking about your vote, the one you have in your hand. When you consider all the other votes that will be cast on that day, millions and millions of them, every last one of which could counteract yours, and with it all the other powers beyond the general election that so influence the course of politics in America today, am I not just speaking the truth and saying that that vote, your vote, the one in your sweaty little hand, is almost nothing, practically of itself powerless to change anything in this world? And yet you don't want to believe that. Because if that were true, then that would mean that you were helpless and could do nothing in these times but ready yourself to be pushed around by those dreadful principalities who really do wield the power in this world. Well, we're in worship now. So look in your hand, Christian. The Lord bids you look in your hand and see what He has placed there. Do you see that little mustard seed of faith? And do you know what it can do if you but believe in Jesus Christ, that all the promises of God will be fulfilled in Him, and pray? Oh, that Christians would put as much thought into and invest as much hope in what they will pray tomorrow as they do how they will cast their vote on November 3rd. You have power, Christian. If you have faith, even just a little, then you do. The power to uproot and to plant. The power to move mountains of overwhelming spiritual opposition. The power to change minds, to soften hearts, to bring forth life from death and fruitfulness from long barren lands. You have the power to summon forth by your prayers the spiritual powers of the kingdom of God. And in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen King, to do so unto the salvation of the nations of the earth. In God's way, of course, and in God's time, and by God's almighty power, all the nations of the world, we read in the Bible, including this one of ours, might be saved and will be. And being saved, so they will be blessed with God's light and God's love in Christ Jesus in such a way that all our leaders will be wise. And all our neighbors will be good. And it will no longer be necessary for you or I to say to our neighbor, "Know the Lord." For we shall all know Him from the least unto the greatest. And then the Bible says we will beat our swords into plowshares. And we will worship together as a world reborn. It will blow your mind, Christian, when what you pray for in faith now is fulfilled in God's good time. It is not an exaggeration to say that the stars will fall from the heavens when Jesus Christ returns in His glory, and the foundations of the earth shall be shaken, and with cataclysmic force, the kingdom of darkness will shudder and collapse into dust, and suddenly we shall all be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, everything will be changed. That's power. These are troubled times in which we're living. I know, they really are. What shall we do? What can we do? Christians, we shall believe. Believe. That's who we are. Believers. That's what we do. And believing, we shall pray and we shall preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is not nothing in this world. That is by far, the greatest power that you or any of us possesses. And it ought not to be despised, even if all that you claim of Christian faith right now is but a mustard seed of it. Put your hope in the Lord. Will you, Christians? He is worthy. And in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, every last one of them. And what Jesus has said about the mustard seed in your hand right now, I'd say you got a pretty good one today. Shall we pray? Oh Lord our God, if we have been and are despising the power of the faith which we have, the power of our prayers as believers, and the power of our preaching as believers, if we have despised that and not understood, Lord God, what that faith is capable of, we ask you to forgive us this day, and we thank you for the correction. And pray, Lord God, that as we think about the future, even tomorrow, and what we shall do in these troubled times, oh God, if we have not been praying in faith, I pray that this sermon would stir us by the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to pray anew in earnest. And we pray, Lord God, that if we have not been bold to speak the truth of the gospel out loud in this world in the hearing of others, that you would stir us by this word through the power of your Holy Spirit to be more bold in our speech, knowing, Lord God, that is speech which can uproot and plant trees and move mountains. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are to us God incarnate. God come to us, God dwelling in our midst, God dying on the cross for us, God rising from the grave for us, in our humanity glorified, God ascended in our humanity, God reigning in heaven now and promised to return in our humanity. We pray, Lord God, that our faith would be drawn, all of it, and all of our attention, and all of our hopes, unto this our Savior who is revealed to us in the pages of Holy Scripture. And pray, Lord God, that we would find in there plenty of hope to keep going, and plenty of wisdom to know what it is that we are to do. And so we thank you, Lord God, that you have condescended to speak to us in this way. We pray that the preaching of your word would bear forth its fruit in our time, for we need that fruit now. And all this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.